As you take a seat this morning, be sure to pull out your Bibles, and you are going to want to also pull out your outlines that say redirected across the top of them, and open in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, we'll be beginning in verse 12. I'm going to put you with your Bibles in your lap in a different location than what I'm going to read. So I'm going to have a couple verses that are on the screen to start. If you're super fast in flipping through the Bible, you can follow along in your own version. I appreciate you doing that. Church is practice, right? What we do here, we live out during the week. And so what we're accomplishing here, when you use your Bible, you can go home and do that same thing. So if you don't know where some of these books are in the Bible, right now is a great time to kind of explore that and figure that out. And if you don't even have a Bible, we've got some in the book racks that are right there in front of you. Take one, flip it open, use it, put it in your hands, and feel free to take it home. Not your neighbor's Bible, the one that's in the book rack. Those are there for your use here. And if you don't own a Bible, please take it home. We'd love for you to have one. You can use it and do exactly what we do right here, right now. The Word of God, as I just kind of emphasized, is central and significant and important. Why do I say that? I say that because it says in the Word of God that all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, is breathed out. In other words, God breathes life into it as He breathes it out. It says in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse or two later, it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters of the earth, and as God breathed out His commands, the Spirit of God brought life to the very earth that we live on. When God breathes something out, it breathes life into the very things that God is breathing into. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that the man of God, neutral here, the man or woman of God, may be competent, equipped for every good work. I want to emphasize that the Word of God is wholly sufficient, completely sufficient for all that you need. Teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. In other words, it is complete for you and I. How much time have you spent in the Word of God this week, this month, this year? This is absolutely a central source of truth and, as you will see in Romans, of transformation. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, in other words, testing the things that we encounter in life, you may discern what is the will of God. The will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What is the focus point here? That we are transformed by the renewal of our minds. I want you to keep these things in mind as you look down at your Bibles in Colossians chapter 3. Put on then, as God's chosen ones. What a great place you sit. That God has chosen you. That He has called you out by name. That He loves you. That He cares for you. As God's chosen ones. Holy and beloved. Compassionate hearts, I'm sorry, put on then, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, God forbid that ever happen, but if it does, be forgiving of each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Let the weight of that press down on you right now. Inasmuch as God has done for you, so you ought to do for others. Moving forward, above all of these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony or in unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body or in unity. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. In all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I want to take these verses that we've read this morning to emphasize this opening crucial point, that God breathes His character into our lives by renewing us through the Scriptures. God breathes His character. He breathes life into us by transforming and renewing our lives through the Bible, through the Scriptures that you hold in your hand. From God's perspective, the way that God explains it in the Bible, your character is the most significant thing that God is working on this morning. The most significant thing that God is doing in the midst of your life is breathing His character into you. And He does not do so only by the preaching that goes on. The preaching is significant only when it is the preaching of what? The Word of God. It's not preaching good ideas. It's preaching the Word of God. God breathes His character into your life through the Scriptures. Do you see a deficit of God's character in your life? We ought to. We ought to see where our character needs transformation. We ought to see where our character has failed. We ought to see all those things, not to depress ourselves, but to say that these are the touch points. These are the place where God's grace is at work in our lives, and that is where He is breathing His character into us. Why is that significant? I believe that character is significant in the Bible because it is such a tremendous contrast to our world. Our world prioritizes your talent. Our world prioritizes your gifts, what you're gifted at, what you're good at. Our world prioritizes how you look. Our world prioritizes the things that are on the outside of us over the things that are on the inside of us. In fact, our world says if you can't see it, it probably doesn't exist. What really matters are the things that are on the outside of you, the kind of toothpaste you use, maybe your mouthwash, maybe it's the clothes that you wear, maybe it's the way that you do your hair or shave your head. Whatever it is, that's what probably matters. And in some level, right, we do know that the care of the outside of our bodies is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. And when we let ourselves go, so to speak, it is also a reflection of the interior of our hearts. And so I am not in any way, shape, or form condemning the way that you dress or condemning the way that you look. And I would encourage you not to condemn those things on the outside of yourself either. But these things are not the highest priority. Do we live lives that prioritize our giftedness over our character? Or do we live lives that prioritize character over our giftedness? And let me just mention, I want to give a very practical explanation of that. I worked with students for a long, long time. And I would ask kids all the time, what do you think the most important thing is to your parents in your life? And I could do this right now. I could take a microphone down, and I could probably take it to my own children. I could take it to the students that are sitting in the front row. It's the week after Hume Lake. I love having the kids in the front row at least for a week. And that kind of thing. You guys better be sitting there for months, all right? But I could take it down there, and I could say, what, in your opinion, what is the most significant thing to your parents? And what do you think they'd say? Go ahead, you can talk. Grades, you're right. They would say they're grades. 9 out of 10 kids usually say, oh, my parents, what they really care about is grades. A couple of them will say taking out the trash or their chores, but very few of them would ever say, character, my character in Christ, that's what's really important. Parents, we live in a world that prioritizes a lot of external success things. Don't let those things take away the priority of character over giftedness, character over talentedness, character over all those things that you know. You know, parents, you can prioritize sports all you want, but that is not your kid. You can prioritize grades all you want, but that is not your kid. You can prioritize all these things all that you want. That is not your kid. Your kid, what really is going to matter no matter what they do, is whether or not they have the character of Christ in the midst of their lives. Because even when you die, what you're talented at, I mean, in reflection to God, what are you going to say? I was an outstanding volleyball player. Woohoo! Look at me. I excelled at wrestling, at sports, at my grades. Jesus, did you see my GPA? Over 4.0. Okay. How does one go about experiencing this change, though? Like, let's just get down to the how-to. I think most of us could say, okay, yeah, I buy in. I buy in that the Bible prioritizes spiritual character. I see it there. I understand that. How does it happen, though? How do you put this into actual practice? Let's go to John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Jesus Christ told his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, which makes he puts a certain emphasis on these words that he says. He said to them, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." Here's literally from God. "And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." I want to focus on the center point of that verse, or those verses. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Which means that as you read the Word of God, that's the spoken Word, right? It's what God has breathed out. That the Holy Spirit can take those words and then use them in your life. You are giving voice to the Spirit. If you were to look at the Bible and you feel like, man, I know what this part is about. I know what the very beginning part is about. But that middle 5,000 pages, I got no idea what's there. I'm telling you that what is there is the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you want to be transformed in your character? Let's begin to engage the Word of God. It gives voice, the Bible says, for the Spirit of God. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. In other words, the things that are about to happen in your own life. This was not just a promise to the disciples. It is a promise to you and I as well. It is a promise that the things that you will encounter, the things that you are going to be heading into, whether you stand before kings or peasants, that God will give you the right words to speak. Words that will glorify him. Words that reflect his character. Christ-like character is breathed into our lives by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ promised it. He promised it to all those that were his true followers, that he was going to give them the Spirit of God so that the Word of God and the character of Christ, the character of God, would be breathed into our lives. And it would be done so by the Spirit. How much do you depend on the Spirit of God? When you walk into a situation that's dicey, when you're in situations that are that require dependence, which, by the way, I mean, the more mature you become, I think that's every day. You realize that, you know, I know I should not even talk to my wife before talking to God. Because if I do, my brain might just be out of alignment with where it ought to be. It says in the book of Ephesians that when I speak, I'm supposed to say words that are constructive, not destructive. I'm supposed to speak words that literally provide grace in the very moment that they are needed. When I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about baseball cards and a shower. That's it. That's all I think of. I just, bam, you know, that I know that might sound silly if you don't know me, but this is kind of where I'm at. What would it be for you? Align your heart to God. He will breathe the truth into your life, and he does so by his Spirit. I find this significant for us because of our conversation that we had last week about how we are genuinely refreshed. Are we refreshed in the midst of our spiritual lives? I have sensed, all right, let's take that down for a second. I've sensed in the midst of our church a tiredness. I have sensed that people work and do and they think, gosh, why is this so exhausting for me? Why does this devastate me so much? I thought what Scott Slade said this morning about Awana is so great. That's the first ministry I ever served in was Awana. It was such a great experience. I loved it. I absolutely love Awana. I love what it does in the lives of kids. And you know what? I wonder about that group that exists in our church of, hey, I've done that. I've put in my time, as though you were in jail. I've served in that thing. It's too tiring for me. I would encourage you to think carefully about what is shared this morning from the Scriptures. Where are we drawing? Where are we exampling? Especially those of you that have been working for a while, what example are you providing to a younger generation that is coming up and is the church of today and needs to see leaders that are driven and fueled by the Spirit of God? Are you fueled by his Spirit? I'm not asking if you're good at what you do. I'm asking about your character. What is going on in your character? The word says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence in it, if there is anything worthy of praise in it, think about these things. What things? Right here. I hope you underline in your Bible. If you've got a pew Bible, underline these things. True, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, anything worthy of praise. Think about these things. What do you think about? What do you think? Come on now, be honest here. What do you think about? Because I could take the opposites of each one of these and emphasize them, but it would not be worth it because I think you gravitate like I do toward it naturally. True, honorable, just, pure. You know, lists like these are all over the Bible. What are they illustrating? They're illustrating this. The fruit of walking with God is our spiritual character. The fruit of walking with God is spiritual character in the Bible. Whenever you see one of these lists that talk about, you know, all these different fruit or all these different, these long lists of different characteristics, there is a relationship that exists between spiritual character and spiritual fruit. Sometimes it uses, you know, the exact correspondence. The fruit, there it is, Galatians 5, 22 through 25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those, we don't often read these next two verses. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's not language we use a whole lot. What that means is we are dead to the things of this world. We're dead to the things of this world that are so attractive to us. That's called the flesh. We call it the flesh not because our bodies are bad. It's just that human part of us that is drawn to things, passions and desires that are of this world. They're the external things. The things that the world finds to be important. I mean, I don't actually have TV per se. I mean, we have channels that we've bought, but we don't have to watch commercials. So when I visit somebody's house and I'm watching a ball game or something like that, I'm fascinated by the commercials because I never see them. I cannot tell you what it was like to, I spent like, you know, 6 months not watching commercials, and then was over at somebody's house recently and got a chance to watch some of the commercials that were on. I was struck at how overt commercials are in trying to convince you that if you don't use their product, you're going to be unhappy. Your life's going to be unfulfilled. Or they present a scene that is preposterous, particularly Bud Light commercials, but they just present this scene of like, you know, yeah, if you just drink our beer all the time, these are the kinds of people you're going to hang out around. And I'm like, none of those people drink beer. You can tell by the way their bodies look. You got to be kidding me. That's ridiculous. There's a disconnect here. I mean, I'm not encouraging this, but have you ever walked into a bar and looked at the people sitting there? They don't look anything like that commercial. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We see it for what it really is. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In other words, if your life was saved by Jesus and the Spirit of God was given to you as a great gift, if you live by that Spirit, let us also walk by it. In other words, live in it, walk in it, not returning to those things that we know deep in our heart that if we use Crest toothpaste, we're not going to be as happy as the person brushing their teeth on the TV set. If you get good grades and you go to a great college and you get a fantastic job and you make a difference doing something in the world, if it was not done for Christ, it counts for nothing. Nothing. And if you're an adult and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, in whatever you do, whether you are a rocket scientist or you are a plumber, not to criticize plumbers at all, but whatever you do, if you are not doing it for the glory of God, it counts for nothing. If you are a pastor of a church and you do not do it for the glory of God, it's nothing. Why? Because the fruit of walking with God is spiritual character, and this is what matters to Him. It is so crucial to emphasize that in Scripture, character is superior to giftedness. God cares about what you do. God cares about how you're gifted. In fact, the Spirit of God, it actually talks about the Spirit of God giving the church and its individuals both, giving them gifts, spiritual gifts. But those spiritual gifts come from somewhere. They come from spiritual character. Don't mess this up. If you just jump to what you do, if you do what the world does, which says all that matters is what we see, all that matters is what you say, all that matters is that you don't offend anybody, all that matters are these things that are on the exterior of you, and as long as that's shiny and clean, you're good. If you show us something that's dirty, you're done. If you're around your friends and you say something you're not supposed to, you're out. If you're focused on these things and you kind of transport that into your spiritual life, and now you're just concerned about looking right, saying the right things, acting right when you pull into the parking lot, being fine, swearing like a sailor, and then the second you hit the parking lot, suddenly, woo! You've been sanctified somehow by getting near the church. You walk into the building, you're a totally different person. Your kids ask you something annoying, you just smile. We'll talk about this when we get home. You know, it's that Christian thing that we all do. We put on appearances. If you have bought into this, know inside of your heart from the Word of God that character, according to God, is more significant than what you're gifted at. That's what leads in, I think, to this focal point for this morning. One of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible is Ephesians chapter 4 because it explains the way that God has saved us, placed us, and gifted us in the church. And I want you to see the flow of that chapter real clearly this morning. Look where it starts. I, therefore, Paul is the writer, and he reminds us that he is in jail. In other words, I don't know what you're dealing with, but frankly, I'm dealing with more. A prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. Okay, so here we go. What do we start with? Your spiritual character. What do we start with? The fruit of the Spirit of God in your life. What do we start with? Where does Paul say the highest priority is placed? He says, placed on these things, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain unity. There it is again, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I know this looks a little bit like too many colors going on here, but I want to emphasize that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. What is that calling? That we have all been called together in unity in the Spirit of God. That's where the connection is in the verse. What is that unity around? Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, maintaining peace, bond of peace. That's the character, and what this reveals through that character, what it reveals is that we are walking in a manner worthy of our calling, worthy of the Spirit of God. Spirit-filled character authenticates Spirit-fueled giftedness. Do not twist these backwards. At no point will you find in Scripture ever that giftedness leads character. You will always find that character leads giftedness. When you look at the actions of your life, when you look at the fruit of your life, it is fueled by the character that is inside of you. Is that character Spirit-filled? You can measure it by what you do, but changing what you do will not somehow backflow into creating good character. We must always begin where? At the Word of God. It's Scripture that transforms us, that changes us. God breathes into the Word. So when you read it, it's life. It's air. It's what provides the very animation, the very, very life that we feel spiritually. If you are separated from that Word, you have separated from the Spirit of God in your life. You've separated from Christ. You've separated from the purposes that God has in the world. May it never be. Spirit-filled character authenticates Spirit-fueled giftedness. If you read carefully, you will always find that character is spoken of as being something that comes from the heart, and all of the giftedness flows from that Spirit. That's how it works. That's how it works for you. That's how it works for me. Look at what it says. He gave the apostles, the prophets. This is just a few verses later. So he starts with the character, and then he talks about the church, and then he says, and this is how the Spirit gifts the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So where does he begin? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. He gives gifts to the church of offices. He just gives, these are roles that the church needs, especially when it was starting out. And so these are the places that he has gifted. He has continued to give gifts to the church. He continues to give shepherds or pastors. He continues to provide teachers. He continues to provide people as the church is diversified all around the world. The Spirit of God continues to provide all of these things. Why? For the equipping of the saints, the chosen ones, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Never say you're done. You know when you're done? When I do your funeral. That's it. That's when you're done. Until then, we are all working at building up the body of Christ. We're all on this. This is what we do. We do it here. We do it outside of here. We do it everywhere. We are on this mission of the work of ministry. But remember that it's not about your talent. It's not about what gifts you bring to the table. It's about the character that forms the man or woman of God. Never mix these things up, please. I've been in the church long enough to see so many people that have prioritized the work over their character and have decided that they will shine up the way that they work and ignore their character, and that will rot you out and it ruins the people that you are leading. Don't do it, please. It moves forward into the gifts that are given to individuals. Now, these are not the offices. These are different. In other words, those roles, basically it's the Spirit of God says, I'm going to equip the church completely. I will equip it for all that it needs. I will actually gift people that do other jobs, other things with their lives, just like Paul. What was Paul? What was Paul's profession? He was not an apostle. He didn't get any pay for that. that was nothing. What was his job? Yeah, he was a tent maker. Thank you. He made tents. It would say that he would do work, and then he'd go outside of the city, and he'd make some tents, and he'd sell, you know, a couple of tents to people. You know, hey, wow, made by Paul. And that would be what he did professionally. So if you tell me, you know, I can't serve at the church, I've got a job. Okay, have you read about Paul? Shipwrecked, stoned, not stoned like modern day, you know, like a little bit of cannabis and he was, you know, just kind of cooling out. Not like that. People threw big sharp rocks at him, trying to hit him in the head. He was stoned multiple times, left for dead. Got up by the power of God. Went back in, and what does he do? He preaches the word and he makes tents. He makes tents so that he can feed himself. He preaches the word of God because God got a hold of him and transformed him. This is what it means to live by character above giftedness. You will not read a single chapter in the Bible about tent making, but you will read a lot that Paul wrote about how the Spirit of God was at work in the church and in his life, and how the Spirit of God desired for more, more, and more of each one of his people. The Spirit of God wants all of you, not part of you, all of you. There are a variety of gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, but it is all from the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but it comes from the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God. Note, Spirit, Lord Jesus, and God. The Trinity is at work in the midst of his church, gifting it for all that she needs. The same God empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have been given manifestation, in other words, an outward working. You that belong to Jesus have been given an outward gift for what? The common good. For the good of Jesus Christ's church. One is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, or the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, another prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. In other words, the ability to speak in another language. To another, the interpretation of tongues. In other words, the ability to understand that language. And these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills and when he wants. By the way, to another the ability to distinguish, I want to emphasize that last. That's what I was aiming at. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. In other words, God is at work in all of this, and he provides all that a church needs. What if I decided, you know, I'm tired. This church thing, it's a pain in the butt. I lead, I scream, I yell, I'm animated, I freak out on Sundays. The Word of God is exciting to me and I go nuts over it and I just pour it out. And I swear there are mornings where I just see people dozing off because Saturday night was a little hard on you or the week was hard on you and you're passing out in your seat. Now, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that does not inspire a preacher. I've heard Steve Wack a couple times say amen. Where's Steve at? He's right there in the middle. I've heard him being verbal, and I'm like, man, I don't need you to be Pentecostal, but I do need you to, like, wake up. Talking about changing the world, the universe here, and it should inflame us. But what if I just decided, you know what? People aren't very responsive, and I've been here a long time, so I think people tune me out sometimes, a lot of times. I mean, more with my kids, but I think I'm just gonna take some time off. I just don't think I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to do something else for myself. I'm going to get better at golf, or I'm just going to watch TV a lot. I've put in my time. I think I'm just going to do something else. Those verses say that God empowers all of us by the same Spirit. In other words, there's a unity in it. And he apportions to each one individually as he wills. And this is how he equips the church. And so when you decide similar kinds of things that you're just going to check out, realize it leaves a hole in our church. It leaves a hole in this community. People will say, I loved how Scott Slade explained it this morning. I'm fearful of being put into a position that I don't want to serve in. And Awana is fantastic because you literally can have never served before and they'll train you to do it. Awana is a training, just a fantastic training mechanism. If you're a young person and you want to start out in ministry, I believe with all my heart that Awana is one of the greatest places to do it because you're in the Word of God constantly and you're being shown in different stages, actually with different, like, you know, medallions and uniforms. That's fantastic. All these different things, and it just takes you right along, and eventually you'll be the commander. But for now, we just need you to listen to kids, say verses and stuff. But in the process of all of these things, I wonder what if somebody decides, yeah, I'm tired, I'm out. And don't get me wrong. If you decide to lead with your giftedness instead of your character, if you decide that your spiritual fruit is more important than your spiritual tree, then you will wipe out. Eventually, your fruit gets rotten. Eventually, if you don't feed the tree, it will die. There is no question in Scripture that character is superior in every way to giftedness. But hear me on this. There is no day like today to go back to the Word of God and reprioritize your life in a direction that says that you will be a man or woman who is empowered by the Spirit of God for the work of God in the midst of this place. God wants to do great things, and we absolutely need you. If you are exhausted, I would encourage you, as I had the opportunity to do, to take a sabbatical, but do it for the right reasons. And please do not just fill your life with TV. Please do not be frivolous in those things. Reorient toward this. Reorient toward the one that empowers you from the inside to the outside of your life. I don't care if you're 10 years old or if you're 100 years old. Christ builds his church through spiritual gifts which empower his followers. That empowerment must come from the inside to the outside. Don't miss this. The character is the part that comes first. That the spiritual fruitfulness of your life is that which is equal to your character. Don't miss what God is doing in the midst of your life and mine. God is passionate about wanting to do redemptive and great things in the world. But I'm curious, I wonder, is it the passion of our church? Is it the passion of our lives? Are we interested in just seeing the Spirit of God break loose on East Long Beach? Because I got to tell you, that's what my life is invested in. I got to tell you, that's what this church is all about. I got to tell you, those of you that are coming back from Hume Lake, those of you that just feel like you are in a position of just going, what do you want next? Can I just call on you? Can I encourage you? Can I implore you to live life from the inside to the outside? Otherwise, you and I will grow dry. Otherwise, you will not be able to serve past the hype of the leader. Like when Scott Slade gets up here and he does some cheerleading for Awana and says it's a great ministry to start in and it's changed his life and it's been really, really great. What he's talking about is that God got a hold of him and transformed him into the man that he is today. I didn't even know Scott when he first began Awana, but my understanding is that when he first began, he didn't like being in front of people. I mean, you might still not, but he didn't like talking. He was very, very withdrawn, is how he explains it. But a guy in the church, a guy named Manuel, helped him out, called him in, got him involved, told him what to do, put him in places that he'd never been before. The Spirit of God got a hold of his life, and it transformed, and it changed. We don't have 30 years of an Awana program for no reason. We have it because we have got Spirit-empowered leaders that have been willing to jump in and let the Spirit of God do with them what he wants. I beg you, in the name of the Lord, to not serve in this church unless you do so from the right source. Please, don't serve unless you're serving from a place of spiritual giftedness, spiritual resource. Because Christ, the Bible says, builds his church through gifts that empower followers. And anything else is tearing us apart. And it will tear you apart. Don't do it. Don't give it space. Don't give it life. Reorient. Reorient and be redirected today. Let's pray. God, we come to you and pray that you would be the one that guides and fills and cares for the interior parts of our hearts, the interior parts of our lives, that it would flow from the inside to the outside. God, I am delighted and thrilled with all that you have provided to Long Beach Alliance Church. And I pray, God, that not a one of us would walk away discouraged, but that we would be encouraged. Father, that as we invest our lives in your word, that you give voice to the Spirit, and that we are given guidance by God. That God, these things lead us to living Spirit-empowered lives. Not lives that are simply exhausted because of physical exertion, but God, lives that are emptied and poured into again and again and again, fresh water for daily living, God. I pray that we would be empty at the end of the day. That God, we would pour out all that you give to us. That we would bless others with what you've provided. That we would give everything away. And that God, you'd give it all back to us again. Make me a conduit. A conduit of your Spirit and your grace. And God, make this church a place that pours out life on every single person that comes through its doors. We want to be all about your business, and we pray that you would do it in our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as we respond this morning.